Welcome back to the Road to a Million podcast. Today I'm with Jake from the Locals Detailing out in Warrenton, Pennsylvania. These guys just recently got their third mobile detailing van and are getting ready to move into their new shop. They've got 6 employees, and for just having started a few years ago, these guys are absolutely crushing it. On the podcast, Jake's going to tell us about how he got started, which is a crazy and coincidental story. We just connected a few dots as we were recording this episode. So pretty cool to see. I'll let Jake share that here in a minute. But just goes to show you, this is one of the reasons why I do this. It's really cool to see other guys that have been inspired by the podcast. And I appreciate everyone that has been a guest on the show. It inspires and motivates more people than you know. Hope you guys enjoy this one. A ton of value in it, and I hope you guys are able to learn something. Don't forget, you can use the timestamps in the description to skip ahead. And without further ado, let's get right into it. All right, today I'm with Jake, owner of the Locals Detailing. Jake, thanks for coming on the podcast, man.
Of course, dude. Thanks for having me. Excited.
Well, I'm excited to talk with you too. I know that we had touched base like back earlier in the year, and you were looking to get a shop at a car wash back then, just like we're at, right?
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
And then that fell through.
Yeah. I was talking with a realtor. He went me out or sent me out to the site. I checked out the location. It was great. You know what I mean? I'm sure you guys are connected to one. You've had a lot of success. You see the traffic that's coming in and out of those car washes every single day, thinking you can just pick people off left and right. And, you know, it was good. We had a deal written up and I paid. I did everything I could. And then the township, you know, shut it down. They said only one business could operate back there. So I felt as if it was almost like a blessing in disguise because we were on the back half of winter. So I was heading into the mobile season, which we primarily do. So I was like, maybe this wasn't the right fit. Maybe I wasn't ready. But, you know, I did reach out to you because I saw you guys were doing the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now you have a third van. So you invested that money into your third van.
Exactly. That's exactly what I said. I mean, it was like $5,000 or $6,000 putting down, you know, the first last security. Almost just took that and put it into the build out in the van. And, you know, when the time was right, we did it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can get more into that here in a minute because I'm curious to know, to hear more about, because I know you guys are looking at a shop now, right?
Yeah. We actually are moving into one August 1st, which is just like a small little 2-bay garage. We really just want to operate the ceramics out of there. Just so we have a controlled environment. You know, people trust us, you know, we have a location. But I'm still looking for that one that we can settle down in and, you know, start to scale.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that here in a minute, but tell me, why'd you get started and like why mobile detailing?
Yeah. I feel like a lot of other business owners, college just wasn't the route for me. I was in high school, always worked labor intensive jobs. I was landscaping, snow removal, doing all that kind of fun stuff. 15, 17 an hour. It was good. It was good money, cash. I like to work long hours, so I knew I had that in me. And then I just knew, you know, I worked for one of my buddies, so it was tough. It was a little bit of, button heads here and there. He was making more money than me, and I was doing a lot more work. So that mindset kind of, you know, flipped the switch. And I was always looking for something. I stumbled upon a podcast, and this guy it was called Side Hustles Podcast, and he was doing like $6,000 a month. And that was super appealing because detailing cars, I haven't heard too many people do that. And, you know, the entry level, the way he explained it was a super low startup cost. And I knew, you know, we could definitely make some good money in there. So that's exactly what we did.
Dude, are you sure that wasn't me?
Dude, I know. I mean, it might have been. I see there's a lot of people now that are always posting.
Who is the podcast host?
So were you in college and your brother was in high school or no? That was you. Swear to God.
I swear to God.
Oh, no way. Oh my God. Yeah. I swear to God, I did not even know those ties. So you were making money or you were running the business while your brother was working, right?
Yeah.
Dude, no way.
Yes, dude.
Oh my god, that's actually
Nick Looper was the podcast host.
Dude, your voice now, everything's. I swear on my life, I honestly, I always go back trying to look for it because people ask me this question, like, "How did you start?" That is nuts, bro.
That's crazy.
Wow, yeah, that's so 4 years ago. You're the reason why I started. So there's your answer.
That's crazy, dude.
His voice was like, it just flipped like a switch where, like, I don't even know. You were just talking. I was like, I could do it. that's crazy, dude. Wow. So
did you listen to his podcast before you'd heard my episode?
No. So, like, I was just one of those guys that was always trying to find something. I tried selling golf balls. You know, we did curb painting, my partner and I, or he actually did that, and I kind of tried doing it with him. You know, we would go to these, like, the Gary Vee stuff. We would go to, you know, yard sales, trying to do all that kind of stuff. I think I was just on Apple Podcasts and I stumbled upon it, and I was a senior in high school. So I was 2021, and yeah, dude, wait, that's crazy. I like wrote notes from that podcast and everything. I wish I could pull it up. It was on my computer in high school. So I lost all of that, you know, gold stuff, but, damn, that's crazy.
That's crazy, dude.
That's sick. That's
so
cool.
What'd you do after you heard the podcast? Like, were you like,
yeah,
going to the store, bought the stuff and.
Yeah. So first thing I did was I actually brought the idea to my partner, Aiden. Now, I think in the beginning, obviously, you know, you want to lean on someone, you guys want to go in on it together. You're a little scared. So brought the idea to him. He was the same as me. We were working these jobs together. We were actually called the A team at our landscaping job. People requested our services. So we knew we had, you know, we gelled, right. I brought the idea to him, and we just, from there, I guess he came up with the name, actually, which he holds on to. So came up with the name, and yeah, went to Walmart, Home Depot, got the vacuum, we were just doing insides at the time. So I guess we had interior cleaner, rags, brushes,
yeah,
vacuum, nothing crazy.
How'd you get your business at first?
Dude, crazy. So, I posted in our local community group. We're in a good community here in Bucks County. So, you know, it's a tight-knit area. You know, everyone kind of knows each other. I come from a big family. So, you know, we have a reputable name around here, you know, as well as my partner. So we posted in our local community group. It blew up, dude, like 350 likes, 80 comments. I had no idea what to do. I actually left school like the day after I posted it and like was like, I can't even handle this. I was like, had my mom. She was helping me like handwrite like into a calendar, you know, the people that were coming in, like she would write out like the responses I should do back to the people that were reaching out for rates. Like I really did not know what to do. So Facebook community group popped off, and I still rely on it now. It's definitely one of our marketing strategies now, still to this day.
So like, I know some of those Facebook community groups are kind of weird about advertising. So how did you do that?
So how it is in ours is, I think Mondays in one of them is acceptable for business promotion, Wednesdays in the other. They each have their separate days. And it hasn't been too much of a problem for us, honestly. But it is a huge community group. There's like 10,000 to 15,000 people in it. And, you know, we have past clients now that will like, comment, you know, put a good word in, and it kind of just helps the algorithm. I see other detailers in our area posting on there and they get no likes.
Wow.
But I think just we've created that sort of, you know, experience for people where, you know, they feel like they're part of the company. You know what I mean? I like to, you know, look at it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to ask, like, what do you think separates you from all the other guys?
I hold on to, like, you know, Aiden and I's like personalness. I feel like I talk to every single customer, create a relationship with them, in some way, shape or form, whether it's, you know, they got a cool car in their garage. We can talk about that, you know, siblings, sports teams, Phillies, you know, anything that I can kind of strike up with a customer, I will do. And, you know, I'll go the extra mile and, you know, being a personable guy and just, you know, becoming close with them on like a, almost like a friendship level rather than, you know, like they're just giving me money for business. So that's kind of what I've done. And I think that's really helped us, you know, set ourselves apart.
Yeah. What do you remember what the post was when you posted in that Facebook group first?
So, what Ian and I did was, you know, we did our own cars first to kind of gather those before and after pictures, which you said to do. Everything that you said in your podcast is exactly what I posted. I think you told, or you said that your mom reached out to a bunch of your friends. I did that. I had my mom, you know, reach out to some of her friends, put in a good word. So before and after pictures, and then basically just letting the community know that we were, you know, young entrepreneurs, still in high school, not going to college. And we were starting up this business, and people loved it, which I'm sure you see in your business as well. Everyone is out there to support the young entrepreneurs, and, you know, they'll do anything they can to kind of, you know, kickstart your business.
Yep. What were your prices back then?
It was $75 for an interior. People would ask us for the outside. We tell them no. Like, I straight up said no to people. We used to not clean the windows. I think we didn't even clean the trunk at first. There was like crazy stuff that we would do that I'm still so surprised that we're at this point now. And we have some loyal customers that we did then that we're still doing now. So it's super cool to, you know, see people's loyalty and, you know, see how far you come in the game. Cause, you know, I didn't know a single thing about detailing, and I still personally wasn't really I'm not a car guy. I mean, I've obviously grown to like cars, but, I'm not like a car fanatic, like some of these people that get into detailing, like that's obviously their passion. Yeah. Where I think for me, it was just, you know, wanting to own a business and wanted to be that, that boss that everyone wants to be.
Is it the same way with your partner, Aiden?
Yeah. I think, dude, like we have a really good work ethic, and I'm sure you see with people you bring on and, you know, other people you talk to, not everyone has that. And, you know, that's fine. Some people want to work for someone else, which is completely fine. You know what I mean? That's what makes the world go around. But we always had that itch that, you know, you just wanted to, you wanted to work. And I think now in the business, I've kind of jumped into the role of like, I want to scale something rather than just a work, which I think is something that sets people apart down the line. But starting out, it is just, you want to work. You know what I mean? We wake up 7 a.m. We're out there till 8 p.m. Even yesterday, had a 12-hour day. So it doesn't stop. And, you know, that's what got us going.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. What's your roles like in the business? Like, what is Aiden doing and what are you doing? How do you balance that?
We've kind of just been diving into, you know, the roles and responsibilities. We're definitely getting, you know, some operating agreements going, just legalizing a lot of things. As the business scales, I'm sure you kind of want to button things up a little bit more. I've kind of been handling a lot more of the administrative things, you know, talking to the accountants, you know, networking, social media, payroll, just all that kind of stuff. You know, my phone number is the number that handles a lot of the sales. So obviously that's time consuming as well. Where Aiden is, you know, he's operations guy. You know what I mean? We have him training people. We have him managing a lot of issues that might go on throughout the day. You know, if someone calls back or if someone's, you know, if there's a problem on the job, he'll be there and he'll take care of it. And, you know, we trust each other. I think that's the biggest thing in growing a business with someone is it's like a marriage. So, you know, you guys are loyal to each other. You trust each other. And you just have to, you know, if you're on the same page, got the same goal in mind, there shouldn't be any problems.
Yeah. Do you remember what you guys made your first year in business?
First year in business, we did 80,000, I believe.
That's pretty good.
So that was our first like year tracking. Our first year, dude, I don't even know. Like, so I guess I can kind of break this down for you a little bit. We started in 2021. Our, you know, obviously out of high school, we were doing jobs after school, the summertime. Like, we were still going to the beach all the time. You know, hanging out, like we were partying, like we were fun guys. We like to hang out with our friends. So we weren't really like in that business mindset yet. So like we weren't tracking anything, any money that came in, just we Venmo'd to each other, cash apped. If we need a chemical, like it was an absolute mess of a business. We didn't even wash towels. It's really cool to see how far it's come.
What do you mean you didn't wash towels?
Like the interior towels that we would do, like that we would use to clean up people's, you know, dirt. We would just continue to use, like it's terrible. I know I hate even saying that and exposing myself, but we don't do that now, so that's a key point.
We've all got things like that.
I know we weren't doing the outside though, so come on, we weren't scratching people's paint. Yeah, but yeah, we were doing some questionable things at the time. So that was, and then jumping into 2022, same thing, kind of just cruising. I think Aiden and I struggled a little bit when everyone went to college. You know, everyone went to college and we were kind of left behind. You know, we were just working and that was tough. You know, we were still going down all the time to visit colleges and whatnot. So that kind of set us back a little bit. And final straw, we took the trip down to Florida. We drove our personal vehicles down to Florida to try and detail down there. And no business, right? It was a complete and utter fail. But I think that is where Aiden and I were like, listen, we're going to go all in on this business. We're going to come back home. We're getting an LLC. We're getting insurance. We're getting a van. We're getting a business bank account. We're going all in on this. And that's exactly what we did. So that first year, which is 2023, we did 80,000. So that's kind of the backstory a little bit. Obviously 80,000 wasn't off of $75 details.
Yeah. Yeah. And then what did you, so that was 2023. So then 2024 was last year. And you guys had, did you buy your first van in 2023?
2023, we did buy our first van. The backstory behind that is Aiden's dad. He was like, listen, like he kind of pushed us. Like he brought cash to this exchange that we were going to do. Aiden and I had probably $4,000 or $5,000 in the bank account at that point that we built up over the year. And, he was like, he found this van on the side of the road, brought the cash, was like, listen, we're doing it. He paid up front, but we paid him $1,000 a week. So obviously at the time, our business wasn't really doing like crazy numbers. So Aiden and I were getting nothing and we were using this van to pay him $1,000 a week. So we paid him we had to pay $1,000 of interest. So we paid $21,000 back to him in 21 weeks. So that was like a super big milestone for Aiden and I, knowing that like we had that in us to do something like that. And that was like, that's what really got us going. You know what I mean? You know, you get the van, which is awesome. And then once you pay it off entirely in 21 weeks, which I would never do now, but at the time that's what felt right. And that's what we did.
Dude, you guys were grinding in those 21 weeks. Oh my God,
bro. It was like, we were like, I don't know like what we were doing. Like we were taking like $250 maybe like at the end of the month. Like that's what we were taking to pay ourselves. But like I said, we did have these landscaping jobs in the past. So we had some good chunk of change saved up, or at the time it was a decent amount of money. I'm still living at home, so you know, there's not a lot of expenses. But yeah, dude, it was a grind. It was a hustle. It was definitely sometimes we were like, I don't even know. We wanted to miss a payment, but it didn't happen. His dad wouldn't let us do that. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for him for, you know, taking the chance on us. Cause you know, we could have burned him. I don't know. I mean, like he put out a lot of money for us. So that was a kickstart.
Do you feel like the van helped?
Without a doubt. I'd say it's almost like accountability coach. Like you have this van that you have to take care of, and you know, you're going to be pulling up on job sites with, you want it to be clean. You want it to be organized. The wrap was huge, and being young entrepreneurs, like that's when people started to take us more seriously. When we had the van, we were pulling up, I had a 2009 Jetta, Aiden has a 2006 Fusion. So it wasn't like we were pulling up, and I see people now have like these nice SUV setups, which is awesome. And if I had that, maybe I would have waited a little longer to get the van, but like we really did not have a good setup. So the van was just, you know, people respected us a lot more. And I think that definitely turned some heads in our area. Like, wow, you know, these guys are legit and they got some serious services.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious to know, like once you got the van, you had been doing the Facebook community group postings. So like what did your marketing look like going forward?
So it's crazy. I mean, we really didn't jump into a lot of marketing until now, which is still slim to none. Like the word of mouth was crazy in the early stages, still is now. The community groups was like a weekly thing that Aiden and I were doing. And we were one of those companies at the time that we were booked out for like a month. Like we were 3 weeks to a month booked out, which, you know, we were super happy about at the time. And like, you know how it is, like, you know, you're detailing a job, a neighbor walks up, you book them right then and there. We were still using Google Calendar at the time. So it was, you know, services or we're still like very affordable prices for a lot of people, which they were definitely getting a steal. We had a van, we had, you know, a legit setup and we were still charging probably a little under value. People were booking, you know, we didn't really have a problem with marketing in the beginning. So we just continued to do the Facebook posts. You know, obviously we're active on Instagram. But yeah, dude, that was it. And that's really just, that's what
Google
really
Business?
Blew us up. No Google Business page. I didn't set that up until this year, actually. This year has been our first, like, you know, I'm all in on all sorts of, you know, I wouldn't even say like marketing, but, you know, I've been a little bit more mindful of it. I've been paying attention to it more. I did just create my first Meta ad the other day. So I don't want to jump too far down the line, but you know, yeah, not too much marketing in the beginning, just the, you know, Facebook groups.
So you guys did 83,000 your first year?
Yeah.
You tracking?
Yeah. So we were just using Google Sheets. After every job, we put in what the person paid. Same thing with expenses. You know, I had my dad just set me up kind of this thing where it would calculate it for you. So I had month over month seeing what we did. And, you know, it's super cool. I still have those, you know, Google Sheets now, which is cool to look back on and see like, wow, we only did, you know, 4,000 in February, which, you know, now is, if, you know, if you're not making that in like a, you know, couple days to a week, it's kind of a tough week. So it's cool to see what you did in a month versus now in a week.
Yeah. What did you guys do 2024 sales wise?
2024, we did right around 160. So we almost doubled. So yeah, this year, you know, we got some bigger goals set and, I think we just want to keep doubling down, especially I feel like when you're a little bit smaller, the numbers are a little bit easier to double and scale. Once you reach a period where you're kind of, you know, scaling at an average rate, it helps a little bit more to, you know, plan and set these goals, where now I'm just setting goals off of, you know, just how hard I want to work and how hard I want to, you know, go after these goals.
Are you still not paying yourself, or have you guys figured that out?
We're on payroll now, still really low. We filed an S corp, or we just did that transitioning to that this year. So we are filing as an S corp. So obviously you keep the, you know, weekly payroll low. And then at the end of the year, if we're in a position where we can pull a little bit of a, you know, a bonus, we can do that with some tax advantages.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we're at right now, but you know, I'm going to keep putting money into the business as long as it keeps, you know, if we're doubling our revenue, I'm going to keep putting money back in. I think, jumping a little bit more into the, you know, seeing how profitable we are, obviously hiring now, I'm still out there working, Aiden's still out there working. We're getting paid a super low rate where it's kind of hard to plug and play with people seeing what they're actually worth. You know, my job right now is definitely not worth what I'm getting paid. So it's kind of tough to then, like, you know, hire. It makes it, I'm almost making it tougher on myself by not paying myself what I'm truly worth, because now if I need to hire someone, like, I have a lot of tasks that I'm doing, it's definitely not worth $15 an hour. So there are some, you know, benefits to paying yourself a little bit less. And there also are some, you know, negative sides that come with it.
Yeah. But you only have, I think it was Dustin from OCD that said, he's like, you only have 100% of the pie. And like, when you need to pull from certain sections to invest back into your business, usually the easiest thing to pull from is like your own pay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. There's so many ways to look at it. We've kind of, this is our first year on payroll, and this is our first year with, you know, a set amount that we're getting. So I think we'll probably, you know, reevaluate at the end of the year, see where we're at. Definitely still in the growing stages. So I think a lot of these things, you know, will definitely fluctuate as we move on. The way I kind of look at it right now is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So Aiden and I are continuing getting paid low. And then I think next year, you know, I want to be at, you know, somewhat of a rate where I can, you know, possibly move out and, you know, get a car I enjoy. Or not that I want to do anything crazy, but, you know, I still drive a beater and things like that. Yeah. So.
I think that I had an expectation, still do to this day, of that it would be quicker than what it has been to be able to afford the things that you want. Or, and I mean, like, that, my whole perspective on that side of things has just completely changed. But as I've grown in the business, I've realized, like, oh, it takes longer than you think.
Oh my God. And I talk to, I'm always picking people's brain. I'm always talking to entrepreneurs and business owners in our area, and they just keep telling me the same thing. Obviously, you know, we're young and keep hustling and it'll come. You just got to be patient. And, you know, I've been taking a lot of people's advice, and dude, you're right. Like, I thought by this time I'd be, you know, reigning in it, but, you know, it's obviously not the case. And, it's humbling. That's definitely one of the things I will say. You know, everyone in our area is like, oh, you guys are business owners, you're making so much money. And I'm like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's going great. Obviously, I'm happy with how the business is going. But, you know, we're definitely not reigning in it. So,
yeah. Yeah. And it's like that for most small business owners around the country is like most small business owners really just bought themselves a 70-hour work week.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, and they've got to do everything. And it's really hard becoming the Grant Menards of the world.
It's cool. Like, that's why I said it's like a huge inspiration, and it's tough. That's why I'm always trying to learn from people, and I'm always learning. That's something that I feel like we can all probably agree on, is that like, I don't have everything figured out, and you know, there's definitely other ways to go about things. And every year you kind of grow and you look back and you're like, I can't believe I did that. You know what I mean? So that's why, you know, hold on to in my brain at all times, you know, that it'll figure itself out. And, you know, if we continue to do what we're doing, it'll pay off. And, you know, hopefully one day we'll be able to pull, you know, an amount we're both happy with, and, you know, be able to live a life that we want. Cause that's, at the end of the day, that's what you're doing in business. You know what I mean? I'm passionate about the car detailing business, and I think it's awesome and great. But at the end of the day, like, you know, we're all lifestyle entrepreneurs. We want to be able to, you know, do fun stuff and, you know, have time, be able to, you know, enjoy things in life rather than just working.
Yep. I couldn't agree more. I want to know what your hiring was like. Cause you know, I'm sure that if you were anything like us, and it sounds like you were exactly like us, you started to be booked out like 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And then you realize like pretty quickly, it's like, okay, well, we probably need to have a second van and need to hire. And so you got the second van in 2024 and hired some people. So what did that look like? Hiring, how'd you find them? How'd you train? How'd that go?
So we, you know, we were working in the winter months here. I actually lost my mom in 2024, beginning of 2024, which is like a, you know, obviously heartbreaking. It was super tough to go through. And then, you know, someone reached out to me over Instagram, just, you know, sending their condolences and whatnot. And he was a brother of one of my friends who I also lost in 2023. So we were like grieving together, going back and forth, texting, talking, just, you know, going through that process. It's, you know, very tough for everyone to go through. And we kind of just hit it off, and he was like, listen, like, I have detailing experience. He actually worked at Menards. He was head of detail there, and, you know, he left that job and was kind of, you know, not working for a while, came to us, said like, listen, dude, obviously I'd love to keep talking about, you know, what we're going through at the moment, as well as he needs to get his feet back. You know, he needs to get back up under his feet and, you know, get working again. So he actually came out, started working with us. It was our first employee, Casey. He started in 2024 of February. So hiring him was super easy, obviously. He, you know, super hardworking guy. He's our lead guy. I trust him with everything at this point in the business. He handles a lot of things, takes, you know, a lot of things, a lot of stress off my back. And he's been super great. You know, I'm so grateful that he came, and I couldn't have done it without him. Obviously, the team is super important. And then we kind of went all 2024 just kind of working us three. You know, we were three-headed snake, dude. Like, we had three detailers that were just killing it. So we were doing three cars a day. Super successful year. Came June, I actually got our second van. Realized that, you know, obviously being booked out a month is not a good thing in any business. So one of the local businesses around here said, which was super good advice to me, whenever you're 2 weeks booked out, you know, get another van or get another truck, because that's when, you know, you're almost missing out on money. Which I thought was a super good advice to us. So we kind of took that and implemented it, got our second van. I hired my brother who was going into his sophomore year at the time. He started working with us, training him from scratch. So that was obviously super tough. Had a good summer though. We hit obviously all of our best months, did super well. Then he went back to school, and we were actually operating two vans on one job site, which was a ginormous mistake. I started getting really close with my mentor at the time, and he started, you know, obviously opening up like my brain a little bit. And like, I started really thinking more business-like than just work. And, you know, he obviously told me that that really probably wasn't the best decision to be having two vans on one job site, three really good detailers. It wasn't smart. So that's where we kind of were at that point. We kind of cruised like that through the winter until this year, which we then hired our second guy, which Casey referred, who also worked at Menards. So shout out Grant Menard. He trained these guys, and, you know, they came over to us, which obviously no bad blood, They were, I think it was just like, I'm not sure the reasons of actually why they stopped working there, which is besides the point. But yeah, they came over, like, trained, which was super great and super beneficial to us. Still different things, obviously, different systems and processes, and, you know, obviously working through a lot of other things that go on throughout the detail. But yeah, that was kind of where we were at that point. So now we have, so where does that leave us off at? That leaves us off at.
So you hired your third or your second full-time employee after Casey, not including your brother.
Yeah,
this year, just beginning of this year.
Yeah, this year. And then I guess I'll continue there. We were working two vans, going great. Realized we were booked up again. So went out, got our third van, hired our Joey's referral. He's actually super into cars, so it was super easy to train him. These guys both graduated from high school in 2024. So I think that's definitely people that we will target. People right out of high school that don't want to go to college, that want to work with their hands. You know, they want to get dirty. They want to be a part of something that is, you know, worth growing. I tell all of our guys, you know, we want more. You know what I mean? You guys aren't going to be getting paid $15 an hour detailing cars your whole life. Joey is super into paint correcting. So, you know, I want to take care of these guys as best I can, you know, get them in situations where, you know, they're going to be happy and where they can make an amount of money that they desire to. And I think that's almost good pressure as a business owner, knowing that, you know, you have people that are putting a lot of time and effort into your business, and you want to make sure you're giving it back to them. And couldn't do it without them, honestly. So super thankful for them.
Yeah, that's something that I didn't realize how much I would care about. Just didn't even think about it until you get into the situation where you've got several guys that depend on you for their rent and their food and families eventually. And it's like, that's really eye opening, and it does put a lot of pressure on you. And, but it's good pressure, you know, like, I mean, sometimes it gets stressful and sometimes you get frustrated because you want to make sure everyone's staying busy and things are going perfect because, hey, your job's on the line at the end of the day. You know, we can't have be making mistakes because then the customers are going to not come back. And that's not a good, you have to be really careful. You know, I mean, all that stuff can be true, but you can still handle it, I think, in a negative way that ends up actually destroying your team and kind of building like this bad work environment. So you don't want to go down that rabbit hole too far, but you know, it's very good motivation and it makes me feel really good to be able to take care of these dudes and ultimately, you know, help us all to grow so where we can, like you said, make the money we want to one day.
No, exactly. And I think like right on, like these guys got rent to pay. Some of these guys want a new car. I always ask the guys, you know, what their goals are and what they want, you know, see how we can get there, how I can help. And that's just been, like you said, it's super important and something as an owner, you have to realize that, you know, you got to take care of these guys. They're doing a lot for your company and can't do it without them.
Yeah. But you also have to take care of yourself too. And I think that,
yeah,
that's one thing that, you know, I'm trying to find the balance between, now is like ultimately you can pull from your pay quicker than you could ever pull from your guys' pay. And you, it's harder to pull from really any other category other than your own pay, especially when you don't have a lot of expenses, you know, you'll just cut down your pay a little bit, but you also have to take care of yourself, man, because you're the most important person on the team. And I'm not saying that you've got to be paying yourself, you know, tons of money, obviously not, but you've got to find that balance. And that's a hard balance to find.
Super hard. Like I said, I think this is hopefully our last year kind of in the mud. You know, really, you know, putting a lot in, obviously figuring things out. But hopefully after this year, we can kind of get a reasonable amount of money where, you know, we can take care of ourselves and, you know, we got girlfriends, we got families. You know, I want to be able to buy someone a nice gift, you know, just little things like that. When your pay is super low, it does become, you know, you're on a little bit of a budget. So sometimes movie night on Thursday, it's going to be at home.
My girlfriend.
Yeah, I do. She's super cool. Obviously, she understands where we're at in business. And she's always like, because she's obviously like, she'll see like the cash that comes in, obviously, or like a Venmo. And I'm like, trust me, that's not going to my bank account. Obviously, it goes to the business, and then the payroll stays the same. So I think obviously explaining that to people is, you know, I try and let them know that it's not all coming to my bank account.
Yeah. I think that's, there are some people out there, mostly people that haven't run a business before or don't understand how business works, that think that you're like, oh my gosh, $400 for a detail, $1,000 for a ceramic coating. Like that's insane. It's like whenever you're a weekend hustler, then it would be, that would be a lot of money if I could pocket that 80% of it just after I paid for my coating and you know, some of my materials. But when you're doing this full time and you've got all the expenses and all the overhead that comes with that, you know, a lot of people would be surprised at what's actually left over at the end of the day.
Oh my God. Yeah. And then don't even, you know, we don't even mention taxes. You know, there's all sorts of stuff. And I think that's what I've gotten into this year as well, is, you know, fully making a P&L, right? Like seeing everything, breaking it down. Are you on your Able at all, or what do you use for your booking software?
No, we use Square right now.
Okay, Square. So I can break down our inventory, you know, see what we're spending on each job with the chemicals.
That's nice.
There's a lot of things, obviously, business insurance. You got loans for your vans if you have those. I wouldn't say our overhead being a mobile business is super high, but it's definitely, there's still money that is coming out every month.
Yeah. Biggest expense is payroll, man.
Oh, yeah. No, I've quickly realized that.
And, so, you know, it's something I want to talk to you about, actually, because I know that you had mentioned that you're getting the shop on August 1st and you're going to be moving to that. And you told me that you guys need to start raising your average. You need to get that average ticket cost up.
Yep.
So do you not feel like that's attainable with mobile detailing? Like, can you not raise the mobile detailing tickets or upsells or anything?
Yeah. So I feel like we're at a pretty competitive price right now with detailing, detailing alone. Obviously, I think upselling on the job has been huge now. You got your clay bar services, ozone, headlights, all that kind of fun stuff is great. But obviously, I'm not on the job at every time. I'm not hounding down every single customer to try and upsell them. So, you know, using that, like getting that ticket higher is tougher to come by. Obviously you got your van, let's just say, you know, you break down the math, a van does 600 to, you know, 800 a day after you take out payroll and expenses and all that, I'd say your margins are lower. And obviously you stack a bunch of vans, you can reach, you know, pretty good numbers, but you know, obviously with 2, 3, 4, 5 vans, your margins aren't like crazy, where, you know, we started doing ceramic coatings. You realize what you can charge and the margins are like way better. And I'm not saying that I love mobile detailing. I think what we kind of have been using to our advantage is getting these people on a ceramic coating and then quickly getting them on our monthly, bi-monthly, you know, quarterly services. And where someone with, who is only in the shop, they can't do that. You know what I mean? They get a coating and yeah, they charge them $2,500 for a coating, but then they're coming to, you know, our detailing company to then keep up with it monthly. And you stack that up over 10 years, you know, we smoke them. They only get the $2,500 ticket, where we're now collecting well more than that. So I have jumped into that immensely with mobile detailing. Getting in on these, some, you know, like I said, monthly, bi-monthly, quarterly, and bi-yearly, I've just started doing this year. So we have probably $7,000 to $8,000 booked for, you know, September, October, November, December, which is awesome and a lot of stress off my back knowing that going into these slower months, I already have people on the schedule. So that's been super beneficial for us. And I think that it will kind of, you know, the limiting belief of mobile detailing really can't reach these high numbers will kind of come down a little bit once I get into those months and I realize the work that I put in now is paying off in these slower months now. That's kind of where I'm at with that, if that answers that question.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I think I can't remember who it was that I had on the podcast that told me that they plan on rolling out mobile detailing for the main reason of just like being in front of their customers more. Because, I mean, just you're in front of them every month, every 2 months. And so if that person gets a new car, I would think they would probably be more inclined to maybe ask you, what do you think? Like, should I get PPF on this? Should I get a coating again? You know, is it worth it? You know, I had one done on my last car and like you get the opportunity to talk with them because you're the one seeing them more.
Dude, 100%. You know, we know these people's dogs by first base name. Their kids come out and say hello to us. We're really creating this personable connection where they trust us. You know what I mean? If something happens to their car, they're going to call us first. And, you know, we're going to be the ones to, you know, get that job. So, yeah, these monthly customers have just been, like, amazing for our company and definitely something that I think every business should hone in on and focus to get more of.
Yeah. How many of those monthly customers do you have now, or bi-monthly or quarterly? Yeah.
So bi-yearly has been something I've really been focusing on. So every 6 months, because obviously your regular customer isn't going to want their car detailed every single month, right? And you still got to have a package for them that, you know, can fit their needs. So bi-yearly has been huge. I'd say the monthly customers, we probably have around 15 or so. Obviously some of those customers have two cars. We have one guy who is every Friday, two cars we wash for $100. So $200 every Friday. Just wash it. He's got a Z06 and a GLS. So super easy. Then we got a couple people on bi-weeklies. So, you know, they kind of add up once you get in the weekly and the bi-weeklies, on top of the monthlies. So it's fun to kind of see those services stack up and see how many you can get on your schedule, because those are where your money's going to be.
What are you charging for your monthly?
Our monthly service is right around $150. I do say I eat it sometimes a little bit, because we end up spending longer than an hour and a half there. No more than two. Definitely no more than two. Try and be right at 100 an hour. That's definitely our target there. But some of these cars are a little dirtier than I'd like. But, you know, have a personal relationship with them. And I don't know. I'm not going to, you know, charge someone that much more for something that takes me 30 minutes longer every single month they're there. And tips are huge in this business. You know what I mean? So they're tipping our guys out. They're tipping me still as the owner. So I'm not going to break their back over, you know, spending 30 more minutes on their car.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough spot to be. You know, I think another thing too that we have to be comfortable with is being willing and able to raise your price, whether it's at the end of the year, even if it's just a little bit. You know, hey, it's the yearly and time of year, yearly price increases. We're going to be going up $20.
Yeah, I know. People have told me that, and I've thought about it. I think the monthlies, I definitely will. I have a couple people on there for, you know, $120 or so that have, you know, got in early with the, you know, with the service, and I sold them pretty low. Where now, you know, might not be too worth my time, but that's something I'll definitely reevaluate at the end of the year, like you said. I did just raise our prices $4.99. So they used to be like a dead even, like $2.60, where I then changed it to $2.64.99. I'm not sure if that has any sort of effect, but I had a couple of people tell me that, you know, psychologically it does make a difference. So I tested it and I've had no problem. Even though it's a $5 change, no one's cared.
Yeah. Well, and I think that $5 does you a lot more good as a small business owner. Like, you know, when you look at all the volume that you're doing, it really, that stuff will help.
Dude, it's huge. You know, you do, you know, let's just say, I don't know, 1,000 jobs, like it adds up quick. So,
yeah. What are you charging for like your full standard detail? What's your average ticket for that?
Yeah. So obviously the sedan is $264.99. You jump in the midsize, like four escapes and whatnot. It's $279.99. And then large SUVs and trucks is $304.99. One thing I have noticed, which I want to ask you as well, if you've noticed this, no more sedans. I do not get any sedan details. And if I do, it's on a lot lower scale. We don't do that many. I'd say everything is, a lot of large SUVs, a lot of trucks, a lot of midsize. I really don't do too many sedans. So I feel like that's, you know, a lot of our jobs are taking a little bit longer than I'd like, just because they're so large. You get these Escalades and Honda Pilots, you know, they end up taking a little longer than I'd like. So that's definitely been kind of a pain point for us right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would definitely say that the people with minivans, so like the average family, husband's going to drive a truck, mom's going to drive an SUV of some sorts. Mm-hmm. So those are usually the people that I feel like are the most in need for detailing.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they're like low hanging fruit, but I mean, they are very much good customers. And That makes sense. I mean, we still do get a decent amount of sedans, but I would say that SUVs and trucks are definitely more.
Yeah. No, I'd love to, like, obviously hear where you're at with, obviously, your prices and, you know, the kind of cars you got coming in. I think it's cool to kind of see on, like, a global scale what people are charging, because I know every area is different. You know, you see people on TikTok, Instagram charging, you know, I see people charging like $600 for a full detail, which, you know, I that's super cool, but, you know, I definitely can't get that right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really hard to know when you just watch a post, like that's all the true. Details,
yeah.
You know?
No, yeah. Yeah. We, I just implemented on our software, there's some sort of like approval process where I'll run the client through like, listen, this is what you're getting. This is what we need from you. You know, here's any disclaimers. So I do have on there like a before your detail link where they'll open it up. Hey, listen, we've dealt with, you know, excessive messes in the past of kids, you know, staining, pet hair, anything like that. There's additional 75 takes, you know, more time. We'll obviously have a conversation. Some people would rather us, you know, just do the best we can. They're not too picky. They don't want to pay. Or other people are like, hey, listen, spend the time. I'll pay the $75. So that's definitely been a huge break point for us this year, is being able to, you know, have the guts to go up to the door and have that conversation, where in the past I would almost just eat it, you know, just being scared and timid. Where now, like, you know, I'm confident with my work. I know what we have to, I know what we bring to the table. And yep. A lot of times these people are getting a great deal. So I'm not scared to walk up and say, listen, it's going to be additional 75.
And that's the difference. That's the only difference between the guys charging more and the guys charging less. It's the confidence and knowing that you have the people, you have the customers that are willing to pay for your services, that still appreciate it, that still tip on top of paying those high prices, and that you have the confidence to talk to people about it. And some of that's just reps, man. Yep, just getting in the reps.
I tell our guys that. I'm like, dude, just go up, try it. If they give you a hard time, give me a call or something. But, you know, rarely do they give them a hard time, because they understand, you know, I mean, my car's a mess. You know, I understand why you guys need to charge more, and I'll do it. So yeah. I obviously hate being that guy that, you know, is charging more than what I originally quoted you for. That's why I do give them the call. You know, we don't ask for pictures or anything like that. So that's why when I run them through the approval process beforehand, myself, the owner, is letting them know what they should expect. And a lot of times they'll just own up to it over the phone and be like, yeah, I might need that $75 fee. So that makes it a lot easier if I'm sending guys out on the job. I put in the notes like, you know, $75 fee, just have a conversation. And
yeah,
that's super easy training. Just telling the guys, be calm, cool, and collected, and walk up there and say it with your chest. You know what I mean? Like, hey, listen, this is where we're at, and this is where we're going to charge. And, you know, I'll let you know when we're done. And that's it.
Yep. Yeah, we do the same thing, man. We give a range. And so we ask some questions when we're on the phone with them. So people can book online, or if they just call in directly, then we would ask the questions. Then if they book online, then we would call them before the appointment and ask a series of questions like, do they have messes from kids?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have, and that's a funny question, you know, it's almost worth just asking, do they have
kids
that ride in the desk?
That's all that matters.
Exactly.
None of them are clean.
Exactly.
That's
and then,
smart.
Do they have pets?
Yeah.
Do they have stains that they're aware of on the seats, on the carpets? You can kind of get the read. A lot of it's just personal. You know, you personally have to read what this person's saying. And then sometimes I'll ask like, is it pretty dirty?
Yeah.
It's pretty dirty, you know, or sometimes people will be like, no, it's really not that bad. And then it is dirty. Right.
Yeah.
So I always tell people at the end of the conversation, well, from what you're explaining, it sounds like you're probably going to be around $300 to $400 for the inside and out.
Yep.
But when we get there, we'll take a final look at everything and just inspect everything and let you know for sure what will be the final price. And then I let all the guys know that when you get there, you have to be willing to say it with your chest.
Yeah.
If it's a horrible disaster detail and it's going to be a $500 job, you have to be willing to do that. Be like, this is a little bit worse than what we were expecting. I think that to be able to do a good job, it's going to be $500.
Mm-hmm.
And you shouldn't feel bad because you're telling them before you do the job. So they still have the opportunity. You've told them once on the phone that it could be more.
Mm-hmm.
You'll let them know when you get there. And then you told them a second time when you get there and you confirm everything. It's like, what more can you do? There's some shops out there, some car shops in particular, that will take your car, work on it, and then come back at you afterwards and with tell the bill. You.
Yeah.
And that's what people hate.
No, I know. I think it is like valuable what you're doing, obviously, asking the questions and going through that process. My only problem with that was I would struggle with people like saying like, well, what's the difference? Like, why am I not 260 rather than 280? And then obviously explain it, which is fine. But a lot of the times, like over text, like, so do you call all of your clients? Yeah. I always force myself to call them because, you know, over text is always confusing. Yep. But people aren't picking up, things like that. So that kind of drags it out. You know what I mean? But I think that's super smart what you're doing. I think I can implement that on our online booking. You know, just a little questionnaire, yes, no, you know, things like that. That might help us, you know, have a better idea going into it. But sometimes you'd always get a little surprised, like you said. People say it's not that bad, and then it's really bad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's just where leaving that open-ended part at the end of the phone call just by saying, well, hey, we'll take a look at it when we get there. And I always tell people, like, you know, if you want to know an exact price before setting anything up, I understand. Bring it by the shop. We'll take a look at it.
Yeah.
Really take a look at everything. I mean, like, stick your face in the cracks, in the cup holders, in the third row cup holders.
Because that's the thing. You open the door and it doesn't look that bad. Then you pull the mats out. You start going through your processes and you're like, this is thrashed. You know what I mean? Like, this is going to take me a while. So, you know, we're all like, all of our guys are guilty of doing that. Like, I'm always the, it's not that bad guy. And they all look at me with a side eye, like, because they know that, like, obviously what they're getting into.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be aware, like, if you pick the floor mat up and shake it, does sand come out? It's like, that's going to take a lot longer.
Yeah.
No, you know, third row, is there stickers on the back window? Because sometimes you spend forever on those stickers.
See, it's funny. This is why I like having these conversations, because not everyone obviously understands this who doesn't detail cars, but there's so many little things that go on that, you know, definitely cause a detail to take a lot longer.
Yep. And some people don't care about that stuff. We have a maintenance client that we do about once a month. And she specifically tells us, if you miss something, don't worry about it. You'll get it next time.
Those are the best.
Those
are the, you know, people say like, hey, I don't need it to be perfect. And that's always nice hearing, you know, being in the detail. We still go above and beyond, obviously. But it's nice knowing that you're not going to be held against the wall. Like, I missed this, that, and the other. We walk every client through a detail at the end, which I'm sure you did yourself as well, just to make sure no callbacks. You know what I mean? Nothing's, you know, we're not confused about anything. Did this not come out? This is why. I think like the communication part is like so important in any sort of, you know, price or, you know, people's satisfaction. Is just being upfront and, you know, letting people know what's going on in detail. We're honest about everything. Like one time door fell in our shop, hit a guy's car, dented it, complete freak accident. We took care of it. We told him about it, where I could have easily, like, I don't know. It was really small. You might not have even seen it. But it goes a long way, and this is, he's one of our best customers to this day, and he just respects us for that, you know, that we went and did that for him. So, yeah, just communication is super important.
Yeah, I agree. So you've got three vans now, and you've got two guys in every van. Is that how you do it?
Yeah, so we have two guys in every van. Obviously, we're going through that new agreement now, so we kind of got people in their cars pulling up to the jobs, but I like to keep everyone in the van usually because we've had – you know, crazy stuff happen, people in their cars. So I like to shy away from that.
Yeah. So do you guys like all meet at one place and then kind of go out from there?
Yeah. So our van's at my house, van's at Aiden's house, and then Casey, our lead tech, keeps the van at his house. You know, we trust him with everything in the business. So I don't really second guess that at all.
Sure. Yeah. So that's a good way to do it. So you're a lead, Casey's a lead, and Aiden's a lead.
Exactly. My brother works with me, lives right here. Casey works with, you know, one of our other guys who lives right up the road from him, so it's super easy. And then our other guy, you know, drives obviously to Aiden's house, meets him there, but you know, he's okay with that and it's not a problem.
So how many cars do you guys try to do per day per van?
We try and do two full details per van. Obviously, you know, in these summer months the schedule gets, you know, booked, so, you know, we got people that might just want to wash, we'll add that, no problem. Maintenances, no problem. Interiors, no problem. So I'd say like two is the base, is like the minimum. And then on top of that, you know, we'll add whatever we can on top, and usually the guys are all right with it.
How long are those days?
Really depends. Obviously, you know, the cars are all different. I'd say, you know, each guy's clocking in right around in between 40 and 50 hours a week. Really never under 40, or yeah, we're right on 40, 50 hours a week. So everyone's getting solid work, and you know, we're working weekends as well, some Saturdays. Definitely die off a little bit here in the summer, let people go to the beach and whatnot. But yeah, we've been everyone's hustling and working hard, so we're getting the hours in.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like I'm always telling myself, you know, like I gotta raise my prices, and it sounds crazy even still to this day, because I know we're charging a lot, but we just raised our prices again for our interior details because we were looking at that hourly rate. And we're like, so we were giving out a $200 to $300 range as like our standard, you know. I mean, if it's got a lot of pet hair, if it's got a lot of stains, then we'll be higher. Mm-hmm. But $200 to $300 was our average. And I was going, when have we ever quoted a $200 interior job? And it's been a long time. I mean, 90% of the jobs are $250, $300 for an interior. So
that's crazy. That's awesome, dude. But sometimes it reels them in. You know, people hear that 200, they're like, ah, maybe I squeak in there. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So sometimes, you know, obviously if you're going to go with the range, I think it is beneficial to kind of keep it a little bit lower. So it's like, ah, I might get in there. Where, you know, obviously, like you said, you're never quoting someone that low. That's awesome that you can, you know, climb that price rate and get up there. I definitely want to. I think, you know, like you said, reevaluate at the end of the year, see where we can get, because we're here to make money. You know what I mean? That's the whole point of the business. And I think that's super cool, kind of how you can, you've just climbed to, you know, charge those prices.
Yeah. Well, and it's been a journey, man. Like, I can't tell you how many times we've raised our price. I've lost track. Like, it was, I mean, I tell people we started at $30 for a bowl.
Oh my God.
That's what our starting price was.
That's crazy. Like, yeah. I don't even know how you're making money.
I know.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Austin, my brother, told me we had Panda Express after that detail. And he's like, man, this sucks. Like, I know. Dude, there's a goal, though, that we're going to raise it over time.
See? And now you're here.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
No, and now it's crazy. Now I'm throwing out, you know, $3,000 quotes. Like, it's crazy.
Bro, that's so sick. That's all right. Like, that's like, honestly, like, I'm always looking up to people. You know what I mean? Like I said, Menard's up the street from us, killing it. Definitely other shops around here that are killing it. So I'm always like kind of looking up to people, seeing how they got up there. So I feel like you're one of those guys that, you know, hearing that you started from 30 and where you're charging now is cool to see. You know what I mean? I like to hear, you know, successful stories, and I've kind of gravitated towards people that, you know, have had that sort of route and scaled a business. It's cool.
Yeah. It's not, I think, easy. The biggest thing easy. Is, no, it's not. I think the biggest thing is just looking at your hourly rate, though, and like really looking at what you want to be, you know, because everyone's doing different work. Like, there's guys on TikTok that are charging $50 an hour, and there's guys charging $200 an hour. But, you know, they might be spending different amounts of time on the same car, but charging the same price. So it gets a little weird, because there's people out there like Diamond Detail up in Puyallup, Washington. Those guys are charging like $800-$900 for like an SUV, like a 3-row SUV for a detail.
Yeah.
I mean, and don't get me wrong, that's a more expensive place in the country to live.
Mm-hmm.
But they're spending all day on your car. They're spending 8 hours on your car. I think he's trying to make $120-$115 an hour. Whereas like, there's guys that could do the same car and they would charge you a third. They would charge you $300 and they would do a 3-hour detail on it, you know?
Yeah. No,
and so you just have to figure out where you want to be. Like, what do you want to be known for, and how do you want to set that up, and how do you want to communicate that with your clients? How many can you do a day? And ultimately trying to reach that certain hourly rate that you know you need to be at.
Yeah. No, it is cool to kind of see how, you know, other people price their services and how long they're going to spend on the car. Cause we always say that we're like, I could spend 12 hours on this car. You know what I mean? But that's not what the customer's looking for. Like, they have a car that they know their dog's going to hop right back in it right after. So, you know, why would they spend $800 to $900 an hour? So like you said, you got to understand your customer and understand what, you know, they're looking for, and, you know, get to where they're at, not where you want to be, like in terms of how clean you want to get it. I think I quickly realized as well, like being the best detailer isn't always like the most important thing. Like, obviously quality is always the most important, but like, to be labeled the best is, you know, when you're growing a business, isn't always, you know, top of mind.
Exactly. Yeah. Best known beats best. Yeah,
exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, you jump into sales, marketing, you know, maybe you're, like I said, maybe you're a really personable guy and people buy from people they like. I think that was the best sales advice that I've ever taken in. And it's so true. You know what I mean? If I'm out at a, you know, a bar, if I'm out at a party, I'm always talking to people on a friendship level. And then eventually they ask me about the, you know, my detailing company and, you know, if they can get their car done. So, yeah, it's not always about like spending 8 hours to, you know, provide the perfect detail. You know, you'll make no money.
Yeah. No. And some people, that's their business model. I mean, there's definitely customers out there that want that, but that doesn't mean everyone has to fit into that.
So it makes it like, I would say like, there's so many different avenues you could go and there's no right or wrong. You know, everyone's what makes the world go around.
That's right, man. Well, what are you guys like? Are you guys booking out a week? Like, what's that looking like right now? Are you trying to get it down?
So right now, I would say we're honestly week of, like, which I love. I think Aiden, he's a little more conservative. I'm probably more like the riskier guy. So he's always like, oh, we got to get people. And I'm like, they'll come. You know what I mean? People are calling us. I had a couple, you know, we had no cars really booked for Thursday. And then ceramic coating job comes in. Oh, now she wants the interior. Now she wants interior ceramic. Now that day's booked out. You know what I mean? So things happen really quickly. And I think being able to service, you know, people within, you know, a day or two is really important because not everyone wants to wait weeks for their detail. I think that's something I've kind of realized is like, I used to stress so much about keeping the schedule booked and wanting to be booked out 2 weeks, 3 weeks. When really, you know, sometimes it's nice to, you know, be able, like yesterday I was doing a landscaper's truck, a bunch of other trucks rolled in. They were like, yo, can you detail my other truck? And I was like, yep, right on it. And now right after that service, he jumped on quarterly. So it's like, just like that, like something really great happened for our company. When just earlier in the day, we're like, oh, we don't have enough cars on the schedule. So I think always being optimistic and, you know, realizing that, you know, the customers are going to come. We have a really good service, really good, you know, business going, and there's no reason they're not going to.
Yeah. I mean, I hate turning down business because, like, especially when it's like a thing where it's like you're too far booked out, because you never know that person, like, lifetime value. Oh, what's that person really worth, you know? And then all their friends that they refer and their family.
You sound like me. I'm always like, lifetime value, because I'm always breaking it down. I'm like, listen, if they pay this, like, because that's literally me. Like, all the guys laugh at me because I say the same exact thing. I'm always paying attention to that. And, you know, obviously the guy that we do every Friday, like, I will do anything that he pretty much says along with the detail. Like, we pull his cars in, close his garage. He's a little late, but I'm like, it's all right. Like, this guy's paying us a lot of money over a lot of time, and, you know, we keep providing a good service, and it'll be good.
Yeah. What are your goals like for the rest of the year? Do you want to hit like a certain revenue number per van per month, or like, are you like more focused on like marketing at this point, or like what do the goals look like?
Yeah, I'd say diving into the rest of the year here. Obviously, halfway through, we've smashed every goal for the month, which has been awesome. You know, we added our third van, which I wasn't expecting, you know, when I put into our goals. So I would say like right around, I don't know, there's every month's different. I'd say at this point we want to break over like 30 every single month. But you know, there are months where you hit 45 and you're like, whoa, this is amazing. So I'd say the line's at 30. I never want to go under that at this point. Obviously the winter months for us are a little tougher. But yeah, I'd say like big goals, which I touched on a little bit, which I don't know if you had a question about, but the, like getting the licensing agreement going, getting that, you know, person up and running has been huge. So he just got his van yesterday. We're getting it wrapped. So we're diving into that like full, you know, we're fully going in on that. I think we're at a good point in our business where I can put a little more time into, you know, another venture and still kind of scale this one, you know, as the employees and Aiden still doing all the still doing a lot of the operations. So it allows me and Aiden as well, you know, to, you know, put some time into some other efforts.
Yeah. So why did you decide to do the licensing deal with that guy instead of just hiring him on with your team?
Yeah. So a lot of people like obviously have this question, like even if you like, if people didn't agree, obviously like I said, everyone's got different opinions and that's fine. So basically my thought process was like, even if I did scale this business to, let's just say $2 million a year, I think is amazing, right? I think that would take time. It's a lot of headaches. Like, 2 million would be great. I would, like, that would be, that's like huge, huge goal. I'm not like, that's probably years down the line. But what am I really pulling from that, right? Like, how much is really coming into my pocket with a lot of time and, you know, a lot of stress for like how much? Like, how much am I really getting? So I think that's something in detailing where other companies like landscapers and, you know, paving, they can reach, you know, 20, 50 million revenue, and then they're taking a lot more in. We're detailing, I'm not sure if I can really get to that level. So my thought process was, obviously capital is always kind of an issue for us a little bit. Like, I'm not going to go out and get another van right now. Then I got to hire more people. Then I got to worry about if they're still providing quality. Got to, you know, there's a lot to worry about as a business owner, where now he's going to go out there. It's his own business. He's got skin in the game. He wants to scale. You know what I mean? This is his livelihood, and I'm collecting a percentage off of him without doing anything. You know what I mean? And I think getting to like a global level, right? Like, it'd be really cool if I could get the locals detailing out in North Carolina, you know, New Jersey, just kind of scale really large. And that was kind of my thought process there. It was like a big goal type of thing.
Do you think that it makes more sense for guys that are wanting to get started, or maybe they're started but they're wanting to scale? Do you think it makes more sense to do the like licensing route with someone like yourself versus whether it's an equity partnership or like a franchise?
So I guess we'll find out, obviously. I think it's something you got to ask yourself. Like, do you want to make 100K a year, or do you want to make 500K, or do you want to make a million? Do you want to make 2 million? I think for me, like 150K a year to 200K, which is like, you know, obviously a great amount, isn't like a goal that I want to just settle down to, right? Like, I think that's amazing. Like, I make nowhere near that. And if I did ever get to that, that'd be awesome. So I'm still shooting for that. But then once I hit that, like, and am I capped out? Like, my business is doing amazing, but like, how much more can I really grow at that point? Where like, I think I personally, at this point in my life, 21, like, I want to shoot big, right? Like, I want to make millions a year, which would be super cool profit. And I think one of those ways to get there would be, you know, a licensing or franchising route. You're just at a much larger scale, you know, helps with branding. I think it definitely opens up a couple more doors as well. I have a mentor that, you know, really helped me kind of make this decision, and he broke it down for me, sat me down, you know, what do you want? And I think that's the biggest question you got to ask yourself in the beginning is, you know, what do you really want to come from this?
Yeah.
So that's probably the question I would ask myself if I was, or that actually is what I asked myself before I dove into this.
Now, do you think that the people that are doing the licensing deal with you, the other detailers, do you think that this model, like the guy that's doing the licensing agreement in your area now, do you think that that makes more sense for them? Like, what are the advantages of that versus franchising?
I think that I told him today, we were walking into Home Depot. I was like, if I ever had another business venture, this is exactly what I would do. Obviously, he's our first one. So, you know, he got in for a pretty good deal. I wouldn't really say we're at a position right now to license. Like, I don't have a blueprint to make a million a year, right? For a lot of times, that's what people are doing. Like, you buy into a company like Chick-fil-A, you know it's going to generate you money. So he's obviously taking a risk on us as well. The opportunity came, and it wasn't something I wanted to turn down. So I think for him, obviously, he got in at a good time. And, dude, like, he has all the connections that we've built over 5 years. You know what I mean? Like, think about it. We started at, you know, you started at 30, I started at 75. You know, this guy is getting trained by me, who's been detailing for 5 years, and now gets to charge, you know, our rates in our van, in our setup with my training. Like, there's no reason that he shouldn't, you know, obviously things happen, but there's no reason that he shouldn't be able to, you know, get to the success that we did. That's like the thought process behind it. Does everything work out perfectly? No, but like, that's kind of the logic behind it, is like, hey, look, this worked for us, and, it's going to work for you too.
Yeah. So are you guys doing like a profit split on that, or?
Yeah. So, there's an upfront payment, that he pays to us. And then, you know, we collect a royalty off of his monthly, you know, his monthly sales. Mm-hmm. So that comes in monthly. Obviously, like, it's a long-term play, right? So let's just say, you know, we scale to a million, and then he scales to a million, and we're collecting, let's just say, between, I don't know, 6-15%, really depends on where we're at. I'd say every deal is probably going to be different. It's a good chunk of change coming in at that point. So it's one of those things where right now you're kind of biting the bullet, still proving out the model. It's a big risk. Is it going to work out? I don't know, but I'm willing to take that risk for, you know, a potential of, you know, a score. Like, it could be a huge score.
We don't really have a lot of downside on your end.
Yeah, the downside for us would be, obviously, if, you know, things went wrong. I don't think it's a good look, obviously, to put out bad quality in a new area, as well as a van going off the road. But, you know, we have an attorney, you know, we have a full-on agreement, right? So, you know, if things did go south, I can take that van off his hands. And then, you know, we have van 4 fully equipped and ready, you know, for, you know, a deal that makes sense. So, yeah, nothing to lose. That's the thing I look at it. I mean, we have a rock solid agreement, and I'm not worried about anything, you know, losing anything, right? Like, we have a attorney involved, so
and it's a way to do it.
Yeah, trustworthy guy as well. My mentor, super buttoned up guy, and he set me up with the right people, and I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel here. You know what I mean? People have done it before, and just kind of taking my chances and, you know, going hard.
Yeah. Are you taking the royalty off of the top line or the bottom?
Top line. So that's for him to budget. You know what I mean? He's pretty much giving every detail away for 6 to 15%. I can't, like, obviously say, like, all the numbers, but.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, one thing I will say that I feel like I've struggled with over the years is I have, like, a very long runway in my head of what I want to do. Like, mm-hmm. It feels like I need to make sure that runway is as long as possible. So, like, if I'm looking at a business and I'm like, man, I can only make 200 grand a year, like, that's where it's going to tap out. And I've got buddies that think like this, and I think like this to some extent. Like, it's like, I don't even know if I want to do it, but I feel like we need to be careful as entrepreneurs thinking like that, because, man, the things that come open, that the opportunities that present themselves once you get started. I mean, we've talked about that a little bit on this podcast. It's crazy, man. Like, you can't foresee the entire future. So when you feel called to do something, even if you're looking at it, you're like, oh, there's not a whole lot of money there. It's like, man, sometimes if you just go, in a year or 2 years from now, you'll look back and there'll be opportunities like opened up that you never would have imagined.
So true. I feel like you said, the customers you meet, the people you meet along the way are huge. Like, there's so many doors that are going to be opened. I think obviously sometimes I look back, like, you know, I'll look back and be like, was this the right decision? Was it not? But like you said, I want to get into real estate eventually in my life. You know, there's definitely other things I want to dive into. You know, I'd like to own multiple homes, and I feel like there are a lot of successful people out there in multiple businesses. So like you said, even if things are capped out at 200K or whatever it may be, let's just say you got 7 things bringing in 200K, you know, that's just as good as one thing bringing in, you know, over that. So I think that's a good way to look at it. And definitely something that, you know, will be useful for me is kind of looking at it like that. Cause I already told you, you know what I mean? I thought in my head, like, even if my detailing business did reach $1 million, right, after payroll, after all the van expenses, after everything and all the work I put in, that I know I put in, what am I really getting? Like, what's really going into my pocket? So that's just a question you ask yourself, and that's where you kind of make that decision.
Yeah. Well, it was Daniel from Dynamic Detailing that told me that you can make a lot of money in this profession, but it's not going to make you extremely wealthy. Mm-hmm. So that's where investing into real estate or the market or other businesses, like, you know, there's a lot of other things that come in there to put your profits, you know, but mm-hmm. once you kind of have the cash cow generating steady cash flow, then you can look into investing into those other things.
Do you know Sebastian Wolfgram? I'm sure you know him. Showcar Auto Spa. Colorado Springs. You've seen.
I know like roughly of him, but okay. Don't know him personally.
Yeah, I don't know him personally either. I just follow him on Instagram. You know, he's similar in age to me. Started detailing from a mobile business. You know, quickly scaled into a ginormous shop, PPF, ceramics, all that kind of good stuff. And then, you know, he went the franchising route as well. I know he's got a bunch of properties, and, you know, he's doing super well. just social media. So I'm not obviously saying, I don't know personally how well he's doing, but I think he's in a good position. And I think he kind of took a enticing route to me, which was obviously I'm licensing right now, but the goal is to eventually franchise. There's just a lot of regulations. It's a lot of upfront money you got to do to get into it. And at the end of the day, I'm still proving out the blueprint, right? Like, I'm not going to put a bunch of money into a franchise if the first one doesn't work out.
Yeah.
So yeah, like you said, there are a bunch of other avenues you can dive into. And it is humbling hearing someone say, can't get you wealthy. You know what I mean? Because that's what we all kind of want, you know? I'd love to just, you know, have money to, you know, take care of my kids. You know what I mean? Something like that, which would be cool. But
yeah. Yeah, and it's not to say that there's not good money in detailing. There absolutely is. Oh my gosh, is there? But it's just it's just a one person's perspective in this snapshot in time. Like, I think that this is a very young industry, and I think that it's growing very rapidly. And like I was saying earlier, there's so many opportunities that could come from what we do each and every day. Sometimes you can't always foresee. You know, we want to be able to foresee what the path will look like, you know, but we can't. And sometimes you just have to trust your gut on it and just take it one step at a time and try not to compare yourself too much, you know, to other people. It's like, it's nice to be able to look up to inspiration for other guys. But it's also, it can be a slippery slope there by comparing yourself to other people.
No doubt. I saw something online, obviously, you know, some people become a CEO at 18, make a bunch of money, and then they might die at 30. Some people find the love of their life at 50 and live till 80, or other people find it at, you know, 25 and they die. So, you know, there's, everyone's running their own race, and you do kind of just got to keep your eyes on your own paper and keep hustling the way you're supposed to, and just kind of let everyone else, you know, run their own race and do your thing. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Can't pay attention too much to the outside noise.
Exactly. Well, this has been great, Jake. We'll have to do it again at some point, man.
I was going to say, I was just seeing all your other podcasts as well. You should have some sort of like follow-up, quick chat, you know, some things that people said, and kind of see where everyone's at, because I feel like I know myself, obviously, we're still in like the growing stage and everyone wants to get bigger, which I'm sure you do as well. So just kind of keeping this as like almost like a journal.
Yeah, I am. I'm planning on having a few guys back on, and so here soon, hopefully. So yeah, that'll be interesting, you know, talking and checking in on some of these guys.
Yeah, no, that's just awesome, dude. Like I said, I reached out to you a while ago, and for some reason I was like, maybe he'll ask, and then you texted me and I was like, that was cool, because I don't know, you know, it's nice seeing obviously things you worked hard for, and then, you know, other people realize, you know, notice it, and it's like, wow, maybe I am doing something in the space. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you're doing a great job, and it's super cool to see the growth that you've had, and super quickly too. You know, you guys have in the last 2 years have grown like crazy. So it's super cool to see, and I'm sure that you're an inspiration for a lot of other people listening to this podcast. So thanks for sharing your story and some of the insights into how you think about your business and run it.
Of course, dude. Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me, and it's good
stuff. Do it again, man.
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. Thanks, everyone, for listening.